they are in need of money for fencing and lights or whatever.
Upgrade and expand facilities.
And I would like to give $5,000 out of my capital improvements to, if someone would be so kind as to make that motion.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion by Mr. Cole, seconded by Mr. Jones, to take $5,000 from my capital, our community capital reinvestment for the Nanticoke Little League. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried.
VFW Operation Uplink Program, which are phone cards for the veterans. We gave them $1,000 in November 05, $200 each, Councilmatic.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Cole, seconded by Mr. Jones, to give $200 from each Councilmatic to the VFW Operations Uplink Program, purchasing phone cards for the veterans. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried.
A lot of this goes to servicemen, Dale, overseas. It's not so much for the veterans, but...
Yeah, most
it's all servicemen.
Yeah, it's all
veterans for servicemen and women. Yes.
The next grant's the Millsboro Hut Inc.
I'd like to get $500 for my Councilmatic.
Second.
Would you like to do youth activity or yes. Councilmatic?
Youth, yeah, you do that.
Yes, youth
okay.
Activity.
I have a motion, Mr. Phillips, seconded by
myself,
Dave. Mr. Jones.
Just
to give.
Did they make a specific amount request?
A specific amount, unspecified amount.
Okay.
To give $500 to the Millsboro Hut for scouting programs from youth activity. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
What's that?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Yes, motion's carried.
And the last grant, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration Organization.
They're having that for their parade and...
This is for the support, the youth participation for the weekend, the annual banquet for the holiday weekend. They're asking for $1,500. We have given them that in the past.
Through.
Where'd it come from?
From Human Service Grants, which was stopped in 03. And then they just recently got $250 in December from Councilmatic, $50 each. And they got $250 last January, this time last year, Councilmatic.
$250 from each councilman, was it?
No, that $250 in last January was Mr. Duke's.
Well, that was for Seaford, though, wasn't it?
It was their Seaford function, right?
Celebration. The last $250 in December was $50 each, Councilmatic.
But they're asking for $1,500.
And the last time they've asked for that was in 03. They were pretty regular up to 03.
Where is this being held?
I think it's Rehoboth.
Rehoboth Convention Center or something?
Yeah, it's the one they hold.
Bay Center and Dewey Beach.
Sounded like it's Mr. Rogers, Mr. Cole.
Yeah.
No, this was a county.
Countywide.
No, it's a county. That's where they hold the celebration.
That's for the youth. Can we give it our youth activity? Some of it? It's for the youth. That's what you said.
Youth of Sussex County Communities.
Stickles would say the use.
That's somebody correct. Make a motion, $300 from each Councilmatic. Let's get it going.
That's it.
It's what is a $1,500 divided by five?
$300.
$300 each. That's right. $300 each from each councilman.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Rogers, to give $300 from each Councilmatic for the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. celebration, which will be held in Rehoboth Convention Center. Any questions on the motion? Now be Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Yes. Motion's carried. Additional business. I see a hand sideways. Does that mean you want to speak or what? Mm-hmm. It's first meeting of the year, so be kind.
You following the rules and procedures?
Yes.
My name is Dane Kramer. I just wanted to make sure that them guys knew what they swore to, because they sure ain't going to keep it.
Oh, yeah, they will. Yeah, they will.
This is in particular you're talking
this
about?
This is a new year. It's a new year. We're going to do better. Public hearings. Mr. Griffin, will you tell them how the hearing will be conducted, and then start with the first one, please.
We're not going there first.
Get up there.
When council holds public hearings on zoning applications or legislative hearings, council uses the information obtained during the hearing to determine whether or not to amend the comprehensive zoning ordinance in the manner requested by the applicant. After each application is announced, Mr. Lank will give us a report on what happened at the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing. He will also provide us minutes of the commission hearing. After that, the applicant will be called on to present and explain their application. Council may question the applicant and any witnesses. After the applicant has completed their presentation, if there are persons here who have questions, concerns, or an opposition to an application, they will also be given an opportunity to speak. After both sides have been heard, then council will make a determination as to whether it will take action. If a particular application has been deferred by the commission and no action has been recommended, council will also defer until it receives the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Does anyone have any questions concerning the procedure? Thank you. The first application is the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust, conditional use 1722. Mr. Lang.
Yes, thank you. This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, proposing four units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 17,500 square feet, more or less. Lying southwest of Burton Street, 550 feet northwest of Hebron Street, and 110 feet southeast of Duffy Street within West Rehoboth subdivision, and being more particularly described as lots 13 and 14 in the West Rehoboth subdivision. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on December 7th of 2006. We heard comments from DelDOT in reference to Hebron Road being, which has a level of service B not being impacted as a result of this application. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department, the Conservation District. We received a letter from David Wideman, attorney on behalf of the applicants, which provided the background and applicable law references in reference to the proposed use. We'd received 10 letters in support of the application, 29 letters in opposition to the application. David Wideman, attorney, gave a presentation on behalf of the applicants. Mr. Wideman and Roxy Sturgis, executive director of the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust Incorporated, also gave presentations. Mabel Granke gave presentation in support. She also provided us with a copy of letters of support from Samuel R. Cooper and Ada Loper. We had Isabel Ortiz present, wasn't sure whether she was in support or and did express some concerns. Barbara Merriweather was present in support of the application. Brenda Melbourne spoke in opposition to the application. Mr. Wideman responded to some of the questions raised by the commission after the presentations. We then heard comments from Robert Paul, present and spoke in opposition to the application. The commission did defer action at the conclusion of the public hearing on December 7th and have not yet made a recommendation. The report provided to council in writing is approximately 5 pages of text based on the public hearing. The commission meets Thursday night, Thursday this week on the 11th, and make a decision on the application. We received recently a letter on December 12th, a week after the public hearing, from Diamond State CLT, Community Land Trust for Delaware, in support of the application. We also received on January 5th of 2007, George Howard Bunning Jr., state senator of the 20th district, had given a letter of support, and he asked to rescind his support for this application. Doesn't give a reason.
Who was that asked to rescind?
George Howard Bunning
George
Jr.
Senator Bunning?
Asked to rescind. So I have a letter from Mr. Bunting rescinding his support. For benefit of council, I will pass down copies of site plan on the application. And also have a photograph that was submitted into the record to show the site. Here's a copy of a photograph that was submitted into the record showing the site. And gentlemen, that's all I have, unless you have questions.
Any questions by councilman, Mr. Lang? Is the applicant present?
That's the site, as it exists.
Mr. Weidman.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the council. My name is Dave Weidman, for the record, and I represent the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust. I'll begin by stating that it's somewhat astonishing to me that a lower-income neighborhood like this would meet opposition for an affordable housing proposal and generate so much controversy. Be that as it may, I have the privilege of presenting to you tonight the conditional use proposal that I will suggest to you is legally permissible in concept. It is worthy in purpose and practical in terms of land use. Some see this parcel of property that is the subject of this application as a profit opportunity. Others see the parcel as the beginning of a vibrant new community created for the benefit of lower and moderate income individuals. And still others see the parcel as a foundation from which to reinvigorate a historically neglected and disadvantaged community, which is now attempting to implement a vision for its future and provide safe and affordable housing for its residents. I am proud to be a part of this process. West Rehoboth Community Land Trust is the first land trust in the state of Delaware. It is a model that has been used nationwide. This is the first one. This is their first application to purchase a piece of property to build two duplexes consisting of four units to make this property affordable for future generations. The letter that I submitted to Planning and Zoning outlines the background of community land trusts. I'd be happy to answer any questions about community land trusts. Essentially, what they do is they own the property, the land, and the improvements are severed from the property so that when future buyers buy that property, they are buying not the land itself, but the improvement thereon. What that does is it removes the speculation from the financial equation and keeps the price of the homes affordable for qualified income individuals. And Ms. Sturgis can answer what a qualified income individual is under this model. There is a ground lease that governs the terms of resale of the improvements and the terms of the ownership. Nobody is forced to sell their property to the land trust. This is a voluntary transaction. The community land trust is going to pay fair market value for the property. And it, again, is a way where you remove the inflationary pressures that Sussex County has seen on the land itself from the equation to provide affordable housing for lower and moderate income individuals. I will briefly outline the law that governs this case. You essentially are dealing with the Sussex County Zoning Code and the comprehensive plan. I will note that the proposed conditional use complies with both. The code itself states that conditional uses are generally of public or semi-public character, which are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the community. And in this case, again, you're providing, if you grant the conditional use, an opportunity for the land trust to build two units on two parcels of property, two dwellings on two parcels of property consisting of four units that would provide affordable housing for four different families. We have here tonight Matt Peterson from Element Design, who has graciously donated his time to the Community Land Trust and can show you the plans for the property that would be constructed on site. So, from looking at the zoning code, the proposal complies with the zoning code. It complies with the definition of a conditional use. You also have to look at the comprehensive plan, and this is in an environmentally sensitive developing area. That area is conducive to this proposal. However, if you look at the comprehensive plan, multi-housing dwelling units are actually suggested to be directed to this area where there is infrastructure in place. I will address that briefly because there have been concerns raised about the sewer capacity. If you approve this conditional use, the applicant is going to have to meet, obviously, all of those conditions. One of those conditions is going to be sewer upgrades. If the applicant cannot afford to pay for those sewer upgrades after meeting with the engineer, Mr. Izzo, then the application dies, meaning that the proposal dies. If they can't afford it, the property stays as is. What we are seeking is an opportunity to meet those conditions, and that's all we're seeking here. Ms. Sturgis has been involved in the housing industry for many years and has explored the various programs that are available to assist the finances of the trust and the financing of this project, so that, again, what we're seeking is an opportunity to meet the conditions as you set forth. One of those is going to be to upgrade the sewer capacity. I will note that it recently came to my attention that the Ames, Old Ames Shopping Center that was approved by this council had the same problem, and they were given the opportunity, I believe, to upgrade the sewer capacity in this area. We are seeking the same opportunity so that if we can't do it, the project does not go forward. Lastly, the council has case law to deal with. I was in front of the council within the last 2 years on the Gibson case, and I opposed that multifamily housing proposal. And as you know, it went up to Vice Chancellor Strine, who issued what I call a landmark decision. And he said in that case that if a conditional use, and this is my interpretation of it, if a conditional use otherwise meets with the zoning code and the comprehensive plan, then it must be passed. There's a legal presumption anyway that it must be passed. That's how I read it.
His opinion.
What's that?
His opinion.
That was that. You're right about that.
But his counts.
Yeah, that's right.
You're right about that. It wasn't appealed, so that's the law of the land as we have right now to deal with. Given that case law, again, because this proposal comports with the zoning code that specifically provides for multifamily dwellings, and because that it is in an environmentally sensitive developing area under the comprehensive plan that also provides for multifamily dwellings where the infrastructure is available, and here you've got public sewer and water, and the fact that we'd have to meet any upgrade requirements, I suggest to you that under the current law, there are no legal impediments to the commission, either Planning and Zoning Commission or to the County Council approving this plan. Lastly, I want to address some of the points in opposition. You have a letter in your file that was submitted by Mr. Paul, and his letter of opposition evidently was copied by a number of people who simply signed at the bottom. I don't even know if they read the points, but there are form letters in opposition in the file. Mr. Paul outlines 8 different points. One is that it's not keeping in character of the community. That is false. This development, the West Rehoboth community, is surrounded by multifamily dwelling units. You've got, I think it's the Tides, on the other side of a fence. You've got Ames, which is down the street, that is now also multifamily dwelling units. In the Gibson case, you had Pine Street with single-family homes that had been there for a long time. You have 3 townhouses that were proposed there, multifamily dwelling unit. You had 28 townhouses right down the street there. So in this case, it's not out of character of this community. I think it is clear that the trend here is to direct the concentration to, again, where the infrastructure is and to increase density in those areas. There are 2 points regarding parking. As Mr. Peterson will show on the sketch, we're going to be able to meet the parking requirements. There are going to be 3 parking spaces for each unit. I think somebody mentioned at the last hearing that, well, it's going to create a dangerous situation where somebody has to back out onto Burton Ave. I don't know of anybody who doesn't have to back out of their driveway onto the street. I backed out of my driveway this morning. I talked to Mr. Peterson. He backed out of his driveway. My folks backed out of their driveway for many years. It's what we do. You pull into your driveway and you back out of it. DelDOT has taken a look at this proposal, and there's a report in there that says no traffic impact study is required. They don't have any concerns. Whether or not that's a valid analysis, that's what we have. There are no concerns. There is a point in opposition about density. Again, density surrounds this parcel. There's a point in opposition that, well, there might not be a provision for West Rehoboth residents to be guaranteed homes in this community. Well, no. There's no guarantee that West Rehoboth residents will be given these homes as first priority. No guarantee. However, Ms. Sturgis is going to say, she's going to tell you as director of the Community Land Trust, that is the intention, to provide West Rehoboth residents who are income-qualified individuals first priority to buy a home in this community and then open it to other income-qualified individuals. There is a point in opposition in Mr. Paul's letter that this property is not appropriate for this kind of development. This is a community of single-family homes. And I think that is where the crux of his opposition comes in. Mr. Paul does not live in this community. There are some people that see this as a profit opportunity. In his letter, Mr. Paul says that he's building a house and he's going to sell it to somebody. Well, that's fine. My client is not against a profit motive here. If somebody wants to buy into this community, great. In fact, if somebody wants to build million-dollar homes in this community, that's fine too. What we're seeking is an opportunity to make this property affordable for people who have lived there for many, many years. We're not against anybody's plans here. If somebody is concerned about losing out on profit, I would suggest that those people end up explaining to the residents that live here now how they're going to make the housing that is there now affordable for future generations. There are no proposals on the table from the opposition. If you again take a look at the picture, there's a dilapidated home there now. We're going to show you what we'd like to put there instead. There's a letter of opposition that expresses a desire for a new community of single-family homes that, quote, mimics other subdivisions in the Rehoboth area. I think those were the words of one letter. Well, look at the other subdivisions in the Rehoboth area. You got Kings Creek, Rehoboth Beach Yacht and Country Club, high-end homes that have become unaffordable for lower to moderate income individuals even. We don't want to mimic other subdivisions in the Rehoboth area. We want to provide, again, safe, nice, affordable housing for current residents, for future generations. Lastly, you had a letter in the record that said history has shown that multifamily housing brings problems and issues that have already burdened economically challenged neighborhoods that they are not equipped to handle. I suggest to you that's a rather arrogant position that simply says and is really saying we don't want these lower income people to be able to continue to live there. We don't want an opportunity to be able to make this housing affordable because we see profit potential. We want to make as much money off this land as possible. Mr. Paul does not live in this community. He will tell you that he owns property in this community. He develops property. Again, nothing wrong with that. God bless him. Let him make a profit. We want a chance to make it affordable. Having said that, I'll conclude my comments, and I'll let Mr. Peterson briefly tell you what the vision is for this parcel. Yes, sir.
One quick question. People called me, and a couple comments were low-income or subsidized housing. It is not, which implies it's even the next notch below affordable housing.
Right.
Could you define affordable?
Absolutely.
Is there any definition that you got?
Well, there's no specific definition.
Right, but
although
what you have in mind, basically, is
Ms. Sturgis can speak to how you will qualify to buy the improvements on this property. Let me be clear. The West Rehoboth Community Land Trust is not providing any direct subsidy to anybody. If somebody is already receiving government benefits, that has nothing to do with West Rehoboth. Maybe that will be taken into consideration by a bank who ends up financing the purchase of the improvements. West Rehoboth Community Land Trust is going to own the land in perpetuity. Okay, it's a 503 organization, and it cannot make a profit off this property, otherwise it loses that status. The model of the sale of the improvement is based on a formula by which an individual who owns the improvements will recapture the funds that they invest in the property plus a percentage of the appreciation in the growth in value. and that's how it stays affordable.
There was some concern it'd be like Burton Village, and I said, no, it's nothing like that.
It's nothing like Burton Village.
The financing's different.
Absolutely.
It's nowhere near that type of a project.
Absolutely.
Right.
Say that last again.
Yes.
The houses are artificially low in price, but the folks who buy the improvement will not be able to recapture the full resale value.
That's exactly right. That's the whole point. That when they buy this property, they're making a deal. They're saying, okay, we are purchasing this property for less money to make it affordable for us because we can't go out and buy a $400,000 or $500,000 home. In exchange, we are agreeing up front in the ground lease that when we resell the improvement, we are holding ourselves to a certain percentage of the appreciation in the value of this property.
In the value of the land or the entire
land is excluded. They own the land.
Okay, that's the improvement.
The community land trust owns the land. I'm sorry?
Strictly the house. That's all.
That's exactly right. It's not unlike a lot of what you see down in Lewis and other areas along the coast where you have 99-year leases. Now,
Rehoboth by the Sea.
Right. Right. So you're making a bargain. Give me the opportunity to own a nice residence in this disadvantaged community for an affordable price, and in exchange, I'm agreeing that I'm not going to speculate and capture the full profit that I could otherwise capture by buying into this community.
And there's no restrictions on the number of years they can own it. They could own it for 100 years.
That's exactly right. They own the improvement in fee.
Okay. Gotcha.
What happens if the person who buys the unit is deceased? Does it pass through their estate?
Yes, it can. Yes, it can. And that is, again, I could probably spend an hour or two on the ground lease alone. Since this is the first land trust in the state of Delaware, I had to, I won't say go to a seminar, but the person who's been a nationwide advocate of this model for low-income housing is out of Vermont, and he came down, and he's been here several times, John Davis. Right. And he went through all the questions that I had about it and provided us with a model ground lease that we adopted for their use. And it works in other places. It works in a lot of other places. This is a unique situation where a community land trust is attempting to buy property in an area that already exists, meaning that instead of going out and buying a 50-acre tract and then subdividing it, and the community land trust owning it from the get-go, you already have improvements on the property. It doesn't pose a legal problem at all. You can still sever the land from the improvement. And by specifying up front, in fact, there is a requirement that a person purchasing the improvements before signing the ground lease, they have to have the documents reviewed by council so that everybody knows what they're getting into. And I'm not sure if there's a program in place yet, but I believe that the land trust even pays for that.
Let me just cut to this. We shouldn't be so concerned about the deal, basically.
That's what I was thinking.
Right, the deal's not our concern. Our concern should be is a duplex. And appropriate land use
Absolutely.
Decision in this area. And we don't. We maybe shouldn't focus so much on the terms because those are.
It almost seems like we'd be violating certain fair housing considerations if we took that into consideration.
That might be true. The only reason I'm addressing it here now is because there's been a lot of misinformation out there, and I want to make sure the council understands exactly what this is and what it is not.
But we don't want to go through a seminar.
Okay. And I don't either.
not at this hour.
All right.
No, but I think we get the gist of it.
Okay. Now, having said that, I will invite Mr. Peterson to briefly describe what it is the land trust would like to put on this property.
Great.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Just kind of starting off with kind of this board, we'll go through a little bit of the plans as we've kind of just put them together. But we've done a real quick rendering of what this would look like. Nothing obviously set in stone, but the idea behind what we're trying to accomplish with these twin homes on a single lot. You can kind of see the way the plan works here. This is the side elevation, which the way Element approaches a lot of design stuff differently than some people is just from a twin house perspective. We try to get side entrances so you kind of have your own front porch. We think that's a very important thing in the community. So we create these kind of neat areas here where you have two porches near each other, but again, you're not sharing this common wall doorway, so your garages are kind of together in that respect. Everything else is pretty self-explanatory as things have kind of developed, and we just kind of put together a rendering. But what I really wanted to kind of show everybody was the plans as we kind of have them and how we're trying to approach everything is with families in mind. Again, you can see the porches in brown, yellow is the living space. These living units are about 1,675 square feet, three bedroom, two and a half bath. Again, the point of which is trying to get a lot of natural light in, creating areas for children to do homework and nice bedrooms. And basically, the gist of why I wanted to show everybody this is the design of these and the intent of the design of these will always be to provide good housing, not what some people would consider. These are just great housing solutions no matter the income level. But what we've tried to do through our design ability is to minimize the amount of cost. We're actually bringing the housing cost down by the way they're designed. The previous board you saw, the way the roof was laid out, we're talking about one set of trusses that run front to back and then overframing a couple things. We're working with a general contractor to understand the cost associated, how you bear trusses and how you stack plumbing walls, and structurally how you stack these things is something that we can accomplish a pretty affordable way to build these things quickly.
And they'll meet, obviously, all the codes.
Of course. I mean, it'll absolutely meet all the codes. In and above that, it would obviously, it also meets all the Energy Star requirements. These houses will be inexpensive to operate, inexpensive to build, all this bringing the cost down. So making it even more
Now, Mr. Lank mentioned to me about the parking. You were talking about backing out on the streets, which, yeah, would you go over that, what you said?
The ordinance has been interpreted in the parking section at all street parking areas that make it necessary to back out directly into a public road or a street are prohibited, except for dwellings. And it says dwelling units. It says dwelling units with an individual driveway. In this case, you basically had the front yard used for a parking lot of sorts for four vehicles and one car in a garage for each unit. So it becomes a row of parking backing out into a street rather than individual. There's more site visibility back out from a driveway that's got spaces beside it rather than cars.
If they want, let me just then cut in here a minute. If they wanted to pursue this plan, they would have to then go through for a variance from the parking?
No, the parking within the front yard setback is subject to site plan review anyway. It's suggested by the ordinance that it be prohibited since the design would require the commission to give consideration to that parking. If the commission rejected it, they would have to come up with a new design.
Quite simply, Mr. Holder, to address your question, we could push this further back. Right. Like rent. We didn't, based on the simple fact that the further you run everything back, the more your utility lay and costs are. So, to address Mr. Lang, of course, we could push this back and provide that same parking.
You could accommodate if there was
We could accommodate three parking spaces per unit without doing this. Okay.
We'd prefer not to.
I understand, but if it was a problem.
Okay. Well, I think, and also in your public hearing with the commissioner, was reference made that by pushing it back, you lose the yard space in the rear yard.
Right.
And again, that's kind of, I've spoken with a bunch of you before and different things that Element's done, but we really like the separation of people and cars. So by doing that, pushing things back and reducing this, you reduce the distance here.
And
so,
if the focus is on families, Roxy, I don't know if you're requiring families to buy them. I guess single people could buy them if they met the requirement. But anyway, if you're focusing on families, you probably want a backyard or some kind of yard space. Okay.
It's worth noting again that Matt is here tonight donating his time. He also donated his time to come up with this plan for the land trust. There are a lot of people in this community that want to see this model work if possible. Is there anything else? Oh, I want to note that on Element's
plan. Let me note that.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me apologize when I note the fact that there's a typo. This is 175 feet. There's a typo on anything that says Element's plans, unfortunately. Something that I'm extremely embarrassed about. I'd like to make sure that's on record. This is 175 feet by 50.
There is a survey in your file that shows that it is 175 feet deep. Right. So that if you just note for the record that the site plan itself reflects 100 feet, it should be 175 feet.
And it's drawn correctly. That's 175 feet. The label is the only thing that's correct.
It's the tax map, so notes it also.
Thank you.
Which would be a point that made abundantly clear in my office. Thank you.
Lastly, I would just like to give Ms. Sturgis the opportunity to explain any details about the land trust and their proposal that you might find relevant when you make your decision.
Thank you again for hearing me, and I won't be up here long because I think these two gentlemen have done an excellent job in presenting our case. I just want to just sincerely encourage this council to support us and approve our plans. And I'm going to speak not on behalf of the land trust or the board. I'm going to speak on behalf of myself. But I truly believe that there's a element working in this community that is very self-serving, doesn't have the lower income population that resides in that community in mind. And I do think that this element perhaps believe that if they get rid of the land trust, you know, then they will have an inroad into acquiring the land that they want to acquire in that community. And the as far as I'm concerned, I've been in this affordable housing development in lower-income communities for almost 30 years. And I just want to add that the financing for the housing can come from HUD, Housing and Urban Development, Rural Development, which is the Old Farmers Home Administration, and Fannie Mae. They all have language in their housing, national housing programs that relevant the land trust and affordable housing on using the land trust programs. We do have well-educated housing counselors here in the state of Delaware, one being we have housing counselors with the Sussex County, with the First State Community Action Agency, with NCOL Research, that are willing to work with us to help prepare the families, educate the families. We have an excellent lawyer who has helped us to put together this information. He's not only worked on the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust lease, he's also worked on the Diamond State CLT lease. And both of those leases are perpendicular. They're very similar. We just geared a little bit from the State Land Trust, the Diamond State Land Trust lease, just to gear it to West Rehoboth, just a little bit in some areas. But I just encourage you to please support us on this. Housing is the cornerstone for revitalization. Revitalization is what we want to do in West Rehoboth. And to revitalize, you know, one of the opposition's statement list on the list of statements was that, you know, this type of housing is not conducive to what's already there. I don't want to put what's already there. I want to do something different. You know, we're talking about redoing a community, making it the environmentally livable, safe, decent, and safe. And this type of housing, land trust is not for everybody, but it is a step up to folks who are living in subsidized housing that are now ready to come out. I mean, HUD is cutting money all across this nation and every state for rent subsidies. And the state of Delaware has a program in hand where they are putting a portion of the rents in escrow for families to move on into home ownership. This would be an excellent model all over this state. You know, what we're doing here by not building detached housing, a home on one house, one lot, is because we have to maximize the use of the land to get the best cost, to make the housing affordable.
Do you feel, Roxy, so we don't get it back on the lease?
High density.
Yeah.
Do you feel that that this will have a negative effect on the surrounding property values or a positive effect?
I think it will have a wonderful effect. When first coming in, I said this program will be a show and tell. And it's certainly it's coming to that. Show and tell to the people in that community. And I want to state this, and I know you all are tired and sleepy because I am too. I have to drive all the way back to Dover. But this program coming into West Rehoboth, we haven't gotten much support from the people in there. They've been, and I've said this before, they've had folks come in and say, we're going to do this, and then there was folks that wouldn't come in and help them to do anything. I've been going in and out of West Rehoboth for all the 30 years I've been in affordable housing development, just going in and time just to see what's going on and see what other things have been done. And I think people just are not trusting. And I said to the board, let's just get these models done and let's do a show and tell for the people to give them the confidence that we're here to stay. We're here to help them. We don't only want to build housing. Housing is just the beginning. We want to help them in home repairs. I contacted Bill Locates, my first month coming into this position, to say, let's sit down and talk about how we can maximize the use of CDBG money to help revitalize this community.
All right, Roxy, I just, do you plan to build them both at the same time, one at a time,
build them both at the same time.
You'll build them, okay. That's the only other, somebody asked me that. Mm-hmm. Okay, well,
and hopefully
you.
We can come up there, if, you know, once folks see it and people move into them, we'll acquire more land and continue to produce.
Thank you.
Does that conclude the presentation of the applicants?
Yes, unless there are any questions now or after people that speak in favor or against have any issues they raise. Sorry.
Council have any questions of any of the presenters for the applicant?
Not right now.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Is there anyone here who wishes to be heard regarding this application? Yes, Ms. Grampy.